Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family.
Welcome,
on behalf of our team
everybody.
Of radio hosts,
Facebook
I'd like to extend a greeting to all
welcome
the members of our family, whenever
we
and wherever you may be listening around
welcome
the world.
Our global family
to our family
morning,
in China, Ni Hao, in India, Namaste, in Japan, Konnichiwa, in Korea, Annyeonghaseyo, in Russia, Zdrastuytse, in Germany, Guten Tag, in Poland, Dzień dobry, in France, Bonjour, in Spain, Hola, in Italy, Ciao, in Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan, in Ghana, Akwaaba, in Nigeria, Peleo, in South Africa, Saobona, in Senegal, Nangadef, in Kenya, Jambo, in Israel, Shalom, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Bienvenido, bonjour, all those good greetings. We're going to get right into our joint rolling because I've got two exciting, amazing guests this morning. And we're going to talk about my favorite topic, sports and football and entrepreneurship. So let's do some joint rolling to loosen up these joints. And, of course, we have my favorite music, It's Time for Healing by the Sounds of Blackness. So if you're new to health and well-being with Beata, we loosen up our joints before we sit for a couple of hours and absorb some wisdom and knowledge from my guests. And we want to get our blood flowing, and we want to develop the synovial fluid in our joint. So that's the purpose of doing some joint rolling. So join me for the next, 6 minutes, and then we're going to introduce our guests. And we're going to start with our neck roll all the way around in both directions a couple of times. Then we go to our shoulders, and we do some swimming in the sea of nature, in the sea of energy. And then we get on our back and we kick up our legs and we roll our ankles and our wrists and then our elbows and our knees. And lastly, we get over on our side and we roll that leg around to get that hip joint loosened up. And it's all for the purpose of staying flexible and being an athlete for life. That's what we're going to get into today, being an athlete for life. That's what my dad taught me. And I'm excited to talk about that for the next couple of hours. So let's listen to Time for Healing, Sounds of Blackness, and let's get this neck rolling.
Around this world is all insane. Everywhere you
them against their sisters and brothers, yeah.
communication in this body. We just want to place our hands on the back of our neck, squeeze and release. Feel the energy moving from your head to your toes when you do this. Breathing in and out, breathing in and out. Activating the vagus nerve, which communicates to the gut. The gut and the brain are in this pathway of the vagus nerve to help us, to help us fly. First, love yourself. That's my mantra. First, love yourself. Fly, fly, fly. So thank you. If you've completed that, you're feeling better, I hope. Your blood's flowing better. Your joints are looser. So we're going to move from my living space. This is my tiny house space here, my living space. And I'm going to move from here to the studio so we can get going. And here's a little tour of my tiny house here. Got plants everywhere. And we are back in the studio. And we got my dad's book cover back here, which is, I am so excited about this show today because I've been wanting to talk more about the title Football and Beyond. And I've got the best in the world to do that. I've got these handsome men, these handsome brown-skinned men to talk about my favorite topic, sports and athletics. Good morning, Monterey and Lance. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Looking good. How are? And where are you in? Are you in the United States, right?
We're both in the Miami area.
Oh, you are? So we're all here in sunny Florida. Don't you love this weather? Cool in the morning, and now it's going to be hot during the day.
Yes.
I am on my way to Melbourne Beach today, so I'm not going to be too far from you guys. And, of course, Jody, my sister who introduced us all, she's in Georgia, which is one state up. So thank you so much for joining me. For those of you who are not on Facebook Live, you're missing this beautiful scene, these handsome, healthy-looking men. And we're going to talk about, as I said, my favorite topic, football. And I think I sent Montre the book. Did I send you my dad's book one time?
Yeah, I think it was last year or the year before.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been trying to get these guys on, or Montre at least, and now Lance on the show for a few weeks at least now, and we finally did it. Give ourselves a hand. Hallelujah. So we're going to, and actually, you know, the thing about this book that I wrote, I started writing this book in 2009, and it took 6 years for me to get my dad to come out with all this information. And then I had a friend in Detroit who was a historian. He put a lot of history in there about my dad's journey from the World War II athletic to football on the field. And then in 2015, this book was delivered to me the same day the movie Concussion came out with Will Smith. So it was a synchronicity that told me, wow, this book needed to be written. It needed to be told. The story needed to be told. And my dad passed away in 2019 at the age of 95 years. So I'm grateful that his grandchildren and great-grandchildren have a story to read, and I don't have to remember everything. So thank you so much for sharing in this historical moment of talking about, as what I say, being an athlete for life. Because my dad was an athlete of all he played. So he played basketball, football, ran track. And then he had me and my sisters in swimming our whole youth. We were at the YMCA, and so I'm all about, and even at my age, 68, I consider myself an athlete. And so I want the listeners to know about Montre and Lance's journeys as a young athlete, I would assume. And so let's start with, how did you become interested? I mean, you could have been doing other things, But Montre or Lance, whoever wants to go, who's the oldest?
Lance,
okay. You guys look like the same brothers. So, Lance, tell us how you became interested in sports as a young man and how you got into the athlete career that you were in.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, by the way. So as a young kid, basically, I grew up in an environment where everyone was involved in some type of sports. It was either baseball, football, basketball. So we were always active. We were always doing things, and everyone wanted to be some type of athlete and make it some type of professional. And that was one of the few things that was available to us. And we knew that we could have that avenue of success, and we saw it, and we could emulate it. So that was it. That was every day trying to play some type of sport. It wasn't always basketball. It wasn't always football. It was either baseball or tag or racing or, you know, some type of track or, like, we would do long jump stuff too. Like, we would on mattresses, anything that we could find, we were doing. We were just active. No one knew what you were going to do. We were just doing. And it was this competitive culture. Every day, prove yourself to your friends and who's the fastest, who jumps the highest, who can do the best, the prettiest backflip.
Wow.
Who could punk when they were doing their backflip the best and all that stuff. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was just the environment. And I grew up, the majority of my childhood was in the 90s. Well, all of my childhood was in the 90s. I was born in 89. So in the 90s, that was, you were outside all the time. There was a few video games, Nintendos and Sega Genesis and PlayStation came much later, but we were all outside. There were no cell phones. There were no... the other ways of communicating except for the land phone, where you had a cord, and that cord stretched from the front of the house all the way to the back. Right? It had the longest cord known to history. But yeah, it's just that environment. It bred that type of athlete.
Yeah. Now, what city was that?
Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, wow. You're a Florida Floridian.
Yes.
Wow. Well, you had the advantage of having fairly good weather all year.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you could do that. Kanye West has a song about being on the south side, outside on the south side. He's from Chicago. I'm from Chicago. So every time I hear that line from his song, outside on the south side, that was me. Outside when we could in Chicago. I mean, wintertime is like snow, but in the summer, outside on the south side, that's what we did. So how did your parents inspire you to continue being athletic and moving and doing what you were doing?
Well, to be honest, it was my cousin who got me involved first. He's like one of the oldest cousins. Then from there, my cousin, and then my aunt. My aunt was, she has an eye for talent. So, I was a kid. I was very hand-eye coordinated, but I wasn't foot coordinated. Like I was clumsy. I would always fall. So I could catch, I could throw, I could shoot very well, but my feet weren't always coordinated. So I was always stumbling and falling. I was always on the ground. And my aunt told my mom, she's like, listen, if you want this kid to do something, we think he can be really good because he has all the hand skills. We just need to fix his feet. And once she referred me to a trainer, I was 11 years old. Once she referred me to a trainer, then it was all over. There it was. I became one of the best athletes because now I could, he had me in a bunch of jump ropes and I could move a bunch of ladder drills, and I became very good at those. I was doing things most, because I played basketball, I was doing things that most basketball players wouldn't do. I was preparing for sports as if a track athlete or a football player would. I didn't train like a basketball player. So when I stepped on the court, you know, those guys, they moved too slow for me because they didn't have the coordination that I had. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it was a bunch of cross-training that I did. I rarely practice specifically for basketball. I practice to be the best athlete I could possibly be. And believe it or not, NFL players are pound for pound the best athletes in the world. Football players are, they take the cake.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, who did you – so you played basketball in high school?
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do after high school?
I played basketball in high school. I played in college. My first college was Virginia Commonwealth University. After going through some physical issues, I had to leave and play at Ecker College. And after Ecker College, I played in Spain professionally. Then after Spain professionally, I was with the Jacksonville Jaguars for NFL, so I switched sports. I played in the mini camp there, and then I left that, and then I went back to Spain 5 years later.
Wow, what a life education. So you went from basketball to football briefly, and then back to Spain.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, we talk about this on the Female Solution. One of the best educations is for our youth is to travel. So we want to talk about later how Spain educated you, just being in that culture. So are you fluent in Spanish now?
About 40%.
That is great.
I can live in a country and never speak English.
Wow, that's great. I have two grandchildren whose mother is Colombian. They don't like speaking Spanish. It's like they hear it all the time because their mother and their grandmother is really Spanish, very fluent. Their mother too, but we're trying to get them to learn Spanish, and it's like struggle. So
not only Spanish, they got to learn Spanish. Italian is close. Portuguese is close. French, which is a little different, but kind of close. They got to learn all those languages because. Imagine being able to speak to twice the amount of people, not only in English, but then another in Spanish, and then three times the people in French.
And especially in Florida, because we have a very high population of Spanish-speaking, Portuguese-speaking, you name it. We got a diverse group of people here in Florida. So, yeah, we're really pushing the language. So let me go to Montrey and Montrey, introduce yourself. And so we got already basketball and football with Lance's background. And Montrey, tell us about your youth inspiration for sports and athletics. Montrey, are you there? You look like you froze up. We can barely. Are you there, Montre? You're frozen. You're not on mute, are you?
No. Can you hear me?
No. Yeah, I can hear you, but your picture is frozen.
Okay. Now you're moving.
Okay, now?
Yeah. Well, it's in and out.
Okay, you're a little bit choppy, frozen choppy. You might want to come back, go out, and come back in again. Let me see. Yeah, because you're frozen. We can't hear you, and you're frozen. I don't know what happened. Yeah, okay. So in the meantime, Lance, tell me a little bit about Spain. How did Spain educate you in terms of life skills, life in general? Are you married yet?
I'm divorced.
Okay. So where did that happen? Did your marriage happen in Spain?
No, my marriage happened here in St. Petersburg, Florida, but my ex-wife is Turkish.
Okay. And where did you meet her?
In St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay, so now you have any children?
No children.
Okay, that's pretty good. So tell me how Spain educated you a little bit about life, because we're going to get into becoming an athlete for life. And how did Spain influence you to do what you're doing as an entrepreneur? We want to get into your products that you're selling as well. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Spain culturally expanded who I was, right? It was
you know, I'm still the same human being, but it expanded, like it opened my vision cone for what could possibly be. Montre's coming in again.
He's slow coming in, though. I don't know what
it opened my vision cone for what was possible, what could possibly be. It exposed me to other things other than just the U.S. So I became more adaptable, more valuable. All right, there we go.
Okay, Montre, can you speak? Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still a little choppy. Okay, you're still frozen. Let's see, what can we, can you move to another location? Can you hear me? Oh, darn. We're kind of choppy. Okay. Go ahead, try to talk. No, we can't hear you. Okay, I don't know how to correct. We'll just...
There we go.
Are we good now?
Yeah.
Good now.
Yeah, I had to just switch over my Wi-Fi. So,
okay.
I think we're good.
Great. Welcome, Montre Hartig and Lance Kurz. So we want to hear, Montre, about your youth and inspiration to become an athlete.
Yeah. First of all, I was born and raised in Georgia, a small town called Cordell, down similar to Florida, but a lot more, I guess, I don't want to say family oriented, just in terms of like the culture of like Christianity, but a really big influence in terms of faith, family, and football. I believe that was like the cornerstone in terms of how everyone operated. So being a part of that culture, my dad, huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. However, I'm not a Steelers fan at all. However, just being around the guys all the time, I think the culture was always to be, you know, the best at everything you did. And sports related was that breeding type of force field that I was around. So every day, you know, like Lance was mentioning, you know, we're outside competing. And I think as a kid, I realized that's how you earn the respect. You earn the respect by showing guys, hey, I can outwork you. Hey, I'm better than you at this. And then overall, you start to see those compound interests of wins throughout your lifetime play a huge role in terms of, you know, your trajectory. And initially for me, I was more so into basketball, believe it or not, and got caught up in that world of competing and learning, you know, just that explosive game. You know, I didn't really understand the explosiveness from football other than, like, agility and quickness. I always wanted to be a running back growing up. And then it wasn't until middle school that I realized that I was just really talented at football. Like, for instance, like, first, I think we had, like, six games in middle school. Every game I had an interception. And, you know, just really sparking just the environment. Like, people were kind of just excited to kind of see me grow in the space. And then I got an opportunity to play varsity as a freshman during my first year in high school. And seeing those guys, go to University of Miami University, Georgia, all these amazing different places, and I realized that, you know, people respect me so much more because they're able to create a duality within an environment, education, and being and thriving at sports. And I just saw this being, you know, a prized possession that I can continuously add to my legacy. And so it really came from the guys who were around in my environment, so the upperclassmen, and also being around that football-oriented background at home. And so with that type of leadership and with that type of, you know, with that type of influence, it really impacted my vision. And I started to really curate what I thought was best. And I realized that, hey, if I want to continue to make something out of, you know, this lifetime that I have, I need to continuously have good grades, excel, hone in on my craft, and really work hard at, you know, understanding how to be the best. And so one of the best things that I think I came across during my high school career was we're practicing at 5 a.m. in the mornings. And so building that routine, you know, we had like a CrossFit trainer, a CrossFit head coach type of mindset. So, you know, we're going hard from the start to the finish, and that really translated into football. And so, you know, going into college, we went to Northwestern University. We having the same type of wake-ups because at Northwestern, which is in Evanston, so north suburb of Chicago, we couldn't schedule, we couldn't have early classes. And so because of how that system, a course system is set up, everyone had to be out of the facility at 10 o'clock so everyone could make classes. And so with that mindset and with that basically installation from high school, I was doing the same thing. And so, yeah, it was a good transition, great experience there. And then after my Northwestern experience, I had the opportunity to play with my Miami Dolphins for a year, and then my last 2 years were with the New York Giants.
What? New York Giants. Oh, my goodness. My dad played for New York Yankees. They were actually, yeah, the football team was called the Yankees back in the late 40s. And then he played for Cleveland Browns. So I understand you had a shoulder injury. Is that what caused you to retire?
Yeah, it came down to, you know, just making a business call. There were some neurological damages that I had that was stemming from my my neck. And so that C5, C4, cervical area. And so you can never really tell how nerves are going to react on a day-to-day in terms of the exertion and impact that you're putting on it. And so I just wanted to make the best call for myself and, you know, moving forward to make sure that I'm able to control what I can't control.
Well, again, the parallel between you and my dad is interesting. My dad had a shoulder injury in 1954, I think it was. So he had to retire, and I was born in 1955. So I believe if he hadn't had that injury, I might not have made it because my dad had an affair of sorts. He was an attractive football player back in the early 50s, and a model hooked onto him. Even though he had a wife and two kids back in Chicago, he was in New York. Model who actually ended up marrying Billy Eckstine. If you know anything about Billy Eckstine, this same model who, and in Jet Magazine, I found this article in Jet Magazine. I can say this because my dad's, everybody's passed on, so they give me permission to tell all these juicy stories. In Jet Magazine, this model said she was going to marry Mike. She was going to become the next Mrs. Howard, my dad, after he divorced his wife. This was in Jet. So you can imagine, my mother read that article, and this was before I was born now. She read that article, and I believe that's what threw her into an alcoholic state for the rest of my life, really, or for her life, rather. So it was rough back then being a handsome black football player in New York, and I'm just grateful that he got a shoulder injury, divine intervention. Brought him back home, and they had me. So it's funny how isn't life works in mysterious ways. So I hope your shoulder has healed, because I know you and Lance are doing even greater things now. And we're going to come back and talk about the greater things that athletes do after they learn all those lessons on the field of football and basketball, right? You guys have a lot of lessons to share. Either of you writing a book yet?
Not there yet.
Okay. Well, it's coming. I think it's coming. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the beyond football and basketball, because that's just the beginning of life's lessons. Right, guys? So we're going to take a break and come right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are listening online, you can join us at 515-605-9325 and press 1 if you have a question for these amazing young men that we have as our guests today. And I wanted to just share an interview I found it of my dad that was done and see if you guys can relate to the practice that he talks about. It's only about 3 minutes. He was interviewed at Mike Ditka's restaurant, A Night of Legends it's called, and the guy asked him about practice, and I wonder if you guys can relate to this or not. So I'm going to play this. It's A Night of Legends at Ditka, Sherman Howard. This is my dad when he was in his 80s, so 14 years ago, and I want to just share this with you guys.
Hi, Sherman. To come out to an event like this, for you, how important is it to have groups like this where guys who've gone through what you've gone through, playing and after, can all be together and talk?
Well, memories. You know, that's what you live on, is my memories. I'll be 84 in November, so that's memories.
84, what's still in those memories?
Well,
what still gives you a charge?
Well, the guys I played with, Tom Landry and Motley and kind of Otto Graham, so Bill Willard. You know, those things come to your mind. Edmonton, we all close.
Which, when you talk about a Landry or something, did you know he was a coach when he was playing with it? Did you see that in his future?
Well, I knew, but see, Landry and I started out together in 49. So we were both with the Yankees at that time. And he was our punter and the defensive lineman. So we could have a close relationship. And over the years, whenever I'd come by, he'd always be glad to see me.
Was he a student of the game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, the guys he played with at that time, selling back, I see he just passed yesterday. And Tom Monroe and Tanell, those guys, they were They were pretty good ball players.
Sherman, you still look pretty spry for a guy your age. You seem to have come out of the wars much better off than a lot of these guys.
I taught high school physical education 32 years, so I had to be in shape since they went along with the kids. And then I coached for about 27 years in high school.
Let me ask you one thing. For fans, what don't they know or what can't they ever identify with unless they've been in a team and on an NFL field?
Two a day practice. See, I don't care how well you prepare for it, you're not prepared for two a day. That's the body going at its highest sensation for two times a day. And that's for 2.5 hours. Now, at that time when I was there, stay out there 3 hours. Right? But now, you know, they got it pretty well arranged. I know when I went with Paul Brown, he had it well arranged. I mean, the hour and 50 minutes. That was it. I don't care what you were doing, I was 50 minutes. I was Lombardi. When I was with the Giants, you might be out there until he got satisfied. So that was the difference there.
As I let you go, what was Paul Brown like?
Very astute, mean what he said, and very analytical. Never curse, never holler at you, but whatever he said. You know, one of the things I always remember is saying, are you running as fast as you can? And so you didn't answer that, because if you said no, that means you're local. And if you say yes, you might be too slow for his team.
Thank you very much, Sherman. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Can you guys relate to that? When I hear that, I've never played basketball, football. Can you relate to like that two a day and then being slow? What's your reaction or response to that?
That two a day example you brought in, you know, that's real life. I got an example of that my first year in college.
Really?
You know, I think that was my last year where they kind of, that was the last year, and then they like removed it. And then they incorporated it in a way where, all right, well, you can do 2 hours of physical activity, then the other 2 hours has to be something like walkthroughs. And so they just kind of manipulated it a little bit, but my first year, it's like, I'm trying to see a great example, but like you can prepare to go into practice and do the best you can, but however, when your body is put in a position where it has to continue to, you know, go without the fuel and recovery that, you know, that it actually needs, you know, sometimes you're working on just willpower. And I think back in the day, in those situations, you know, being a man, being tested, it was during those times of figuring out what kind of character that you have on your team. And, you know, depending on how analytical the coach was, or, you know, just very traditional that he was, you know, those different durations of time periods was vastly different for team to team.
Wow, that's great. But you started early, too, in high school training, like, or college and high school training like that. What about you, Lance? Can you identify with the two-a-day practice thing, and how does that stress your body?
Yeah, alluding to what Montre was saying, adding to it, he's absolutely correct. Coaches want to know who they have on their team. They want to know their soldiers. They want to know, fourth quarter, we're down five minutes left, who is going to push through that last period? Who's going to shut down their emotions and act 100% within reason and logic and get the job done, right? Who can dig into those faculties of their brain and figure out things on the fly and understand and still act while things are in session? And you know, ultimately, that's basically what it is, right? It's a mental game. It's understanding who you have on your team and who's around you. For the body, for me personally, it was detrimental. It was rough. You know, me having sickle cell trait and playing basketball, it's a little different because it's more of an aerobic sport. You're just running. You don't stop. And, yeah, those 2 days were rough. Actually, when I played basketball in the States the majority of my life, but when I went to Spain, that's how they practice 2 days. They just run. All they do is run. These people are in shape. It's almost like playing soccer. They're just running all day. And me, I'm more of a type 2 muscle fiber guy. I'm a sprinter. I'm not a long distance guy. And my body didn't like it.
Okay.
But it challenges you. It puts you in a mental space where you're uncomfortable, because that's where your greatness lies, in your uncomfortability. Right? It allows you to be put in a foreign situation where you really have to now pull out something inside of you that you never knew was there. So I like it. You know, even though, you know, when you're going through it, it's the roughest thing. It's like going through like a metamorphosis or going through a cocoon state or something like that. But at the same time, it makes you who you are. Like, I wouldn't take it back. I'm happy I survived.
So what role did your diet and food and the history of eating in your family play in your ability to do those two a days? Because I know my dad had a heart attack in 1993, and he always felt like, and he lived to be till 2019 pretty healthy, because we worked as partners to get him back in shape and get off the blood thinners. But he always looked at his heavy steak and eggs diet in pro ball as contributing to his heart attack. But I looked at other things. He had a kind of conflicting relationship with his wife, and I'm more of an emotional root cause than I am diet and all that. So what was your experience, and how do you, because I know you guys are doing some entrepreneurial work with an excellent product as far as diet. So talk a little bit about diet and food to help you sustain a two a day. What was your experience as far as eating and diet?
For me, I think mine was less, I'll say, traumatic versus Lance. I'm gonna let Lance speak from his experience. But
okay.
You know, for me, I was on, you know, training tables, you know, included, you know, hydration tests, making sure that my, you know, urine was a certain color to make sure I didn't go out there and perform. And I really didn't have this type of, and so just to back it, I always knew I had sickle cell trait, similar to Lance, but I never really experienced a lot of episodes until I got older, like freshman year of college, I started to really experience. I'm like, what is going on? You know, I'm not able to, you know, last as long in terms of, you know, competition. Like, I'm trying to really figure out this science behind how my body is performing right now. And so I did figure it out until my senior year. So I just took so much time in trying to figure out what nitric oxide is. We started getting beetroots. I became a nutrition ambassador. But throughout my time in college, there's before the game or even in preseason, you know, I had to get IVs. Or, you know, I was feeling nauseous before games. I'm like, is it milk? Is it protein? You know, I'm taking my sophomore year, every game I would get, like, I'm not nervous. I played ball for my entire life. I'm like, why am I feeling like I need to, you know, puke right now? And so they would give me these, I think it was like heartburn type of tablets. And it will calm me. It will basically kind of calm me down or whatever, but it took 2 quarters for my system to calm down. And by then, you know, it's only an hour left of the game, and I already played the game on just feeling weird the entire game. And so obviously, you know, I'm keeping this to myself, and I would have one-on-ones with the nutritionist, like, hey, look, I'm feeling weird like this. And she would, you know, we would try to create different plans for me in order to figure out, like, how to best go about this. And it wasn't until my senior year that I realized that, you know, the impact of sugars and dairy had just a weird effect on my nervous system. And so, and then going into my NFL experience, I was really hooked on, you know, eliminating the dairy, making sure, you know, my meats and carbs were clean. And I didn't have any IV situations in the league at all. You know, I came down to Miami. Every 90% of the guys get IVs before every practice. And I was never one of those guys. Also had the highest vitamin D levels on the team, on both teams that I've been a part of. And being a black individual, that's unheard of for a lot of these nutritionists and trainers. And so when I became more aware my senior year
That's when I really tapped in into like nutrition, the science behind it, what it means. You have to become a philosopher of this stuff in order to actually live it. And so understanding, you know, the quality things in order to really maximize ATP levels, especially, you know, Lance mentioned type 2 muscle fibers. I'm that type of guy. Sprint, recover for 30 seconds to a minute, go again. And so understanding what fuel, what energy is needed, it was really much the primary reason for me being able to go out there, thrive, you know, do extras after practice, you know, in the NFL where a lot of guys are tapped out. I'm like, I have sickle cell trait, and I'm making it happen. I did all these things. Like, for instance, like I ran a conditioning test with a torn hamstring just because I understood breathing, understood the components of what I needed to intake, high nitric oxide. So I'm running, you know, loaded up on that before and making sure that my electrolytes are at the premium level. And so I didn't take any days off, and I understood that, you know, your body is what you make, is what you put inside. And then now moving forward, it's more so about eliminating a lot of the toxins in my environment that I can't control. So, you know, with that being said, that kind of leads into, you know, our product. But, you know, going back to Lance and his experience, I think he has a, you know, great story to tell us.
Well, let me, I have an important question from one of our hosts, Monday Morning Host Zelda. She says, Montre, can you share what color your urine was and why that was important?
Yeah, so there's a scale. There's a pH scale for urine. I'm not sure. It just has to be that light yellow, just to make sure that you had enough water and electrolytes. You know, that kind of tells that you're at a good baseline. You know, there's guys, you know, you wake up and, you know, that urine is super dark, and you can't compete in the heat. You can't compete for 2 hours with that type of, like, fluid that you have, because it's not sustainable. So you want to make sure that whenever you're going out there, you're checking yourself to know how you're going to be able to perform, because you can tell, you know, whether it's dry mouth, you know, your urine color, or, you know, you're feeling sluggish. You know, there is a lack of, whether it's recovery or, you know, amount of fluid that you have. And, like, for instance, I think the best thing is just, like, when you warm it up and you're like, if you're tired during your dynamic stretch, you know it's going to be a long day. That's the worst.
Thank you. Starting the day wrong or off balance. And let's say off balance. Because you know what you're talking, and she says, the reason I asked is I'm on I am on day 5 of detox cleanse, and noticed my urine went from yellow to clear. So that's a good sign, huh?
Well, what I know from day having clear urine is you're too hydrated. And so when you're too hydrated, that means you don't necessarily, you may not have all the electrolytes that you may need because you're peeing it out. And so what you'll have to do is making sure that you refurbish yourself with minerals and electrolytes so that you can counteract the dehydration. Because you can be dehydrated if your urine is clear also. So that's something to note, because some guys, or even me in experiences, I overhydrate it, and overhydrating can lead to even faster dehydration if you're competing at a high level. So.
Well, that really reminds me. I have a breatharian friend, Elitam Elamim. He's on my Facebook. He sends me messages. He's in Botswana, Africa. He doesn't eat or drink anything. So I understand from his teachings and his lifestyle that the emotionally, that's the key for him to stay healthy, is to maintain high frequency emotions of love, compassion. He's laughing all the time. He's in Botswana trekking through Africa with some people and meeting people. He always has this high frequency of emotions. So that is one of the keys, I think, when I hear you say you have a sickle cell trait, or how do you call it? How do you describe it? A sickle cell trait. So I have another friend on Facebook. She's a doctor, and she wears oxygen, and she has sickle cell, and she's been struggling with in and out of the hospital and just struggling with, she wrote a book. And I have a feeling that what you just described in the performance of the body and watching your urine, and And the stress level, I think, is that plays a big role, right, in managing your sickle cell. Is that what you're experiencing?
Absolutely. Oxidative stress, it's like biting into an apple, right, and then you leave it out and you see it turn brown. Like that apple was losing oxygen, losing those antioxidants. And so for us, like whenever we're stressed, whenever we're competing, anything stressful environment, you know, our body goes through this oxidative stress period where now we need to recover with antioxidants, because the biggest antioxidant on the planet is sleep, that recovery. And then everything else is, you know, through your food, sunlight, and et cetera. And so if people aren't getting quality sleep, this is the biggest antioxidant, you know, longevity, you know, hormones slash vitamin, mineral that you can find, and then also the intake of, you know, fruits and vegetables, and et cetera. You know, that's how we really recover. And for me, and also for Lance, it takes us a little bit more time, you know, to get this recovery state going. And so we may have to eat more antioxidants, get more sleep. We may have to rest even harder. So whenever I was time to rest, I rest hard. When it's time to work, I work hard. And it's just like you gotta know that if you're a person who has a different type of situation than the common man, you have to perform that way. And if you're trying to perform the way someone else is performing, your body doesn't really, you know, congruent. There's no congruency with that. And so you got to know yourself, and you can't play yourself, because, you know, everyone's cut from a different cloth at the end of the day. And that's just nature. You know, we're not all the same. So we got to figure out what votes and what doesn't.
Absolutely. I'm on this 15-minute workout plan that I do 3 days a week. And the guy who is leading and guiding the video, he says, rest is the most important thing. He said, this is not a marathon. You got me. He'll have us doing these workouts and waiting. And he said, now rest when you have to and then start when you can. But rest, rest, rest. So, yeah, I'm learning that. How did you two meet, by the way?
Oh, we met randomly. It was in 2020. I was introduced to this farmers market down in South Miami area. And I was just kind of wondering, and then I came across CMOS, and then I came across Lance, and then I started seeing, the benefits of CMOS, and then we started, like, you know, wrapping it up and realized that we had a lot of things in common. You know, he played professionally and with the Jags, and also had sickle cell traits, so it was kind of just a hit. And then, you know, we just stayed in contact, and then it just over time we naturally built a relationship, this brotherhood that we have. And, we kind of just started from there in June 2020, right before I was about to report to the Giants for my first year with them. And it was during the pandemic. So it was, crazy time, but being able to connect with someone who was trying to do something, you know, super dope for the community and just also for himself and learning about his story was a great experience, and, you know, we've just been able to capitalize us, you know, our knowledge and what we're continuously learning about ourselves and what we want to continuously do.
So, Lance, let's talk CMOS, because there are a lot of us have taken CMOS, but thinking of I had a friend said he was going to order some more CMOS, and he couldn't get through on the line. And he said, I don't know why I couldn't get through. I'm like, because you needed to listen to Lance today and order from Lance. That's why. So everybody's ready, or at least a lot of us are ready to order some CMOS from Lance and Montre. So for those who don't know what CMOS is, Lance, can you educate us?
Yes. So CMOS is algae. It's not like any other. It's similar to other seaweeds, but it's different because it's one of the only seaweeds or sea plants that can also create collagen. It has a plethora of minerals. Yeah, it has a plethora of minerals. So it's like a multi-mineral. Some of those fatty acids as well, omegas. That's where a lot of fish get their omegas. So if you ever eaten algae oil or something like that for the omegas, that's essentially what CMOS has as well. Very good for mucus dissolval. So during the pandemic, it became one of the fastest growing superfoods probably in the world, because
yeah.
They understood that it helps with the upper respiratory mucus, so in your chest and your nose and your sinus and whatnot. Gives you a bunch of energy. It's a superfood, right? It completes what you're depleting. So it gives you a base level of minerals so that your body can thrive. So I'm from Jamaica. My family's from Jamaica. I was born here in the U.S. I'm a dual citizen in Jamaica. The Irish brought it to Jamaica in 1845 after the potato famine in Ireland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the majority, but a great portion of Jamaicans have Irish heritage. Right. The majority of the island is mixed. So that just passed down, and you know, Bob Marley and all the Rastafarians, you know, Irish moss, they call it Irish moss. That was one of the biggest things for health. In Jamaica, they say that it's good for sexual activity. But like I tell everyone, you know, whatever's going to make you better sexually is just making you healthier. And the benefit of being healthier is you become more sexual. And that's just a creative energy. You can use that for whatever, right? Yeah, you can use that for building a family, community, house, or a baby, right?
Right.
So yeah, sea moss is one of those moss that you need. It's a staple. It's not a blip on the scene. It's here to stay because it's always been around. It's just that since the pandemic, everyone became aware of it. So now it's worldwide, and it's amazing because I've been taking this since I was a kid.
Really?
And now. Yeah, now everyone's on it. And I've been taking that with a bunch of different minerals because the Jamaican culture is based on that mineral, superfood, herbal diet. So yeah, it's great, man. We have it here. This is the Easy Herbal 4712. It's called just Easy Herbal now. We had to drop the 4712 because it kind of confuses people. But it is a Bible scripture though. 4712. Which one is that? Ezekiel. The easy Ezekiel.
Oh.
The herbs for the healing.
Yeah.
So easy herbal herbs for the healing. The Irish moss is the herb. It's to heal. So, yeah. The leaf is for the healing. So.
All right. So we got to take another break. And when we come back, we want to talk more about diet, and let's just talk diet, how the sea moss can complement your diet or even replace some foods. I know I want to know more about where you actually get your product from, how you put it together and all that. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. So stick and stay. We'll be right back after the.
Do you worry about finances? Family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com. Or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Guest I have this morning, these handsome men and young and energetic. You know, you both of you have the most beautiful smiles, and it just reminds me that good nutrition and a good attitude toward life can just bring about these nice smiles. And you're obviously on the right path, having been in sports and athletic, and then we're beyond all the sports activity. And by the way, my ex-husband was a Steelers fan, and he would sit in the living room with Steelers slippers, Steelers hat, Steelers t-shirt. It was like entertaining just to watch him. I know how you feel when you have relatives who are football fans or any, they act crazy sometimes. So it's very entertaining, and glad we're moving on from some of that. But Lance, how do you source your sea moss? Is your location Jamaica for your product? How do you put that together, actually?
So our product is actually from Nova Scotia.
Whoa.
So they actually deal with the actual Irish moss, the Cronus crispus. Cronus crispus doesn't grow in warm water, so it doesn't grow in the Caribbean. It's the Garlicia guarda is what grows in the Caribbean. So it's basically the sea moss version, the Caribbean sea moss version of the Irish moss. So the original, what the Irish were using back in the days. So that's basically what we're, and you can only get that from cold waters.
So you have to import the raw material, and then where do you put it? Where does it get put together or manufactured?
It's manufactured here in Doral, Florida. So we have a manufacturer who takes it after it's already been dried and powdered down, and then we add the monk fruit and the lemon in it, and then we package it in this great packaging here.
So you've got monk fruit and what else you say, lemon?
Yeah, monk fruit, lemon, and sea moss.
There's three ingredients.
Three ingredients.
That's my kind of product. When I start reading an ingredients list, I see more than three ingredients. I'm like, this sounds like chemicals to me, more than food. So where can people order that? Let's just get that out right now. Where can people order the product?
To purchase the Easy Herbal 4712, you can go to easyherbal.com. It's easy, the letters, easyherbal.com. From there, you can select if you want a single purchase or you want it monthly or you want, you know, double or whatnot. But you can purchase it there. It's easy to find on the website. It's, you know, there's call to action to everywhere. So you can just go down and click.
So are both of you invested in this product? And do you have other products that you're promoting?
Yeah, so we're both invested in the product. We're both owners. We're both owners. We do have other products that are coming. We have a protein powder, which is going to be based in adaptogens. So that's for the brain, for the stress, for the anxiety, for the emotion. You know, you're really big on the emotion. So it's really great for that. Really great for putting yourself in a parasympathetic state. Parasympathetic state basically means you're in a calm state. You're not in flight or fight. Your cortisol levels are not everywhere. Because if your cortisol is high, your immune system is low. It's an inverse relationship. So alluding back to what you were saying earlier, it's about 50%, 60% emotions, right? Controlling your emotions, where they go. And wherever your emotions go, your energy, your immune system flow, right? Your emotions are negative and they're everywhere with it. Your immune system is probably everywhere.
So I just looked up, you know, I use Louise Hay's Heal Your Body book for everything. For the last 20, 25 years, this has been the go-to for me for clients who have any kind of health challenges, disease, whatever. And I would say 100% of the time when I read this, they would say, yeah, that's probably what I'm going through, a challenge. So she actually has something about sickle cell anemia. She says the probable cause is a belief that one is not good enough that destroys the very joy of life, and that the affirmation for that is this child lives and breathes the joy of life and is nourished by love. God works miracles every day. Does that resonate with you at all? A belief that you're not good enough, and that's something our parents put into us.
So you're saying that the cause of it is mostly because you say you're not good enough?
That's what she's saying, not good enough, and it destroys the very joy. So there's like joy is missing on a deep level for those who have diagnosed or who challenged with sickle cell.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. I don't disagree with something that I don't necessarily fully understand, right? But from my understanding, sickle cell trait is nature's selection for malaria. So actually, sickle cell trait is a good thing. It's not a bad thing at all. It has this negative connotation, but it's really not negative. It's actually God giving you something that's going to save. So if I get that, me or Montre get bit by a mosquito and we're in Africa, we're good. Our body is designed to have malaria in our body and get rid of it as fast as possible. The complications that you can face is if you're in high altitude, if you're sick, elevated pressure, rigorous activity, dehydration, that's when your cells start to sicken up. Is there an element of stress and lack of love that would cause it to flare up? Most probably, right? I agree with that aspect, but I think that's one aspect. And you know, I don't think everything's absolute, right? Everything has components, right? You know, there's not a one-all cure-all for everything. There's always, you know, variables to the equation. And I think that love aspect, and it is a variable. You can't deny that.
Absolutely. In fact, Jody's in the studio. She says disease is a frequency. So that is how my friend, my breatharian friend, lived his life as a breatharian, not eating or drinking. His frequency has to remain high to not have indulged, be eating, consuming food, water. You have to have such a high frequency, because we call him an alien, because we don't see too many people who live like this, first of all. And he's demonstrating all the time. He was in India during COVID, walking through India, teaching about breatharianism, and his frequency was off the chain. It was like you could feel it through the video. So not many of us have practiced maintaining a high frequency. We got a couple of other questions here. I'm got a lot of comments here. Let's see. Jody is here in the studio. She says, love the sea moss. Thank you, Jody. Great information. Thank you, Jody. And then Jody said, I wish you kept the 4712. Okay, but you changed it for a good reason. So
we'll probably call this product the 4712 product. going to give you her bread.
Okay, and Ezekiel, so Zelda was asking Ezekiel 47:12. So I think she got that. And then, thanks, Jody. Okay, they're communicating. They do that. And so, Lance, are you participating in the Holistic Lifestyle Conference in Orlando in May is her question.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay, good. So I'll have to visit there. I thought about participating, but way too expensive for me. Easyherbal.com for Irish sea moss. That's right. Easyherbal.com. Yeah, that's correct. Thank you, Zelda. And then Jody says, to keep the frequency high, we need nutrients and a positive attitude, which is driven in part by nutrients. Yay, price is lower now. Hallelujah. I'm going to order mine for sure. And then my friend, who I told him that's why he couldn't order the other one, he's gone. So you're going to have quite a few orders coming in. Okay.
Yes, it's only $39.99 now.
Okay. And that's for, how long does that last?
That's 20 servings. That's
okay.
20 servings. On the label it says 10 servings. It's actually, we made it too strong. We put 6 grams of Irish sea moss per serving. That is way too much. If you put half of that, that's sufficient. So that's 20 servings.
Okay. So now,
$1 per serving.
Okay, great. Price. She says the price of the conference is also lower. Oh, okay. I might look into that then, because it was way too high for me. But okay, so let's talk about what do you guys do athletically as far as exercise? Let's talk exercise. I, for one, am a yogi. I do yoga every day. I'm so passionate about stretching. And then if you saw my joint rolling, that's just a small part of my exercise every day. And walking is big for me. Once the swimming, I have a pool up in Altamont Springs that I used to live there for over a year and a half. The saltwater pool I still have access to. So I'm a strong swimmer. My grandchildren are learning to swim. What do you guys do for exercise, and what would you recommend to others as far as maintaining a routine for life? I'm all about being an athlete for life, and you guys are the best to speak about that.
That's that winning schedule.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So what are your thoughts and recommendations for that? Oh, thank you, Jody. For exercise, let's talk exercise. What do you do? What do you think? What do you recommend to others? How have you benefited from what you do? Either one.
You want to go, Monster?
Yeah. Also, for me, I guess my journey. I'm realizing, resistance training is the foundation for longevity in terms of muscle mass. And I think the best way to measure someone's health is predicated on muscle mass. And what I've seen and what I've read, being able to do some of the most fundamental things, calisthenic squats, push-ups, things that you can be able to protect yourself if you fail. And it's almost like comparing yourself to being a head. Being able to, you don't necessarily have to lift the heavy weights or, et cetera, and you look normal, but you have to be able to do the normal things exceptionally well. And that's through training, doing these different things on a day-to-day aspect. So movement, like you mentioned, yoga, calisthenics, adding some weight to the bar, depending on, if you elevate it enough to build enough muscle in order to carry something. And so for me, it's movement and it's just resistance training, and it's also complementary to, getting great sunlight and then also eating correctly. But in terms of training, being able to put your body under some stress so it can build and build up a catalyst in order for it to take on different challenges throughout, your lifetime or throughout your, situations with, physical activity, you need that. And so if you're, you have to put in the work train in order to actually be able to perform at a high level in life. And so I think training in some type of way, whether it's movement, is a necessity for longevity. And I think movement enough adds enough resistance. You know, for some people, they want to add more, you know, attributes, whether it's physically or aesthetically. And, you know, adding more, you know, weight with that, you know, allows for that to become a huge thing. And I think with the resistance training incorporates the cardio aspect, depending on the reps and volumes that you include. And so I do think cardio is a big, big indicator of heart health, and also creating an environment where your nervous system can thrive. And you guys are talking about the emotional aspect. And then I met this holistic doctor a couple years ago, and he was just like, you know, some people say it's 90% mental, 10%, you know, physical. And he was just like, man, you want to know the truth? He was like, it's 100% neurological. And I think whenever he told me this, it resonated with me so much more, because if your neurons in every aspect of your body aren't correlated, then your muscles won't fire, your brain won't work. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that neurologically, we're just neuron-based humans. Anytime you know, feel heat, coldness, these are impacting your nerves. So understanding that stimulation and understanding how to control that is through exercise. I think it's the best anti-inflammation drug on the planet for lifestyle.
So tell me, I'm curious, what's your routine every day? How do you start your day, and how do you incorporate all this? How do you do a smoothie? Give us an example of what your day is like.
So for me, well, I stop eating I try not to eat after 7 p.m. every day. And then I go into a 5:45 workout every day. And I'm usually done. It's like an hour 15 workout. And then my first thing that I have, I've been telling Lance about this, I have an avocado smoothie. I have an avocado smoothie with some protein and what else? I throw some cacao in there. So that's like, it's like basically three ingredients. And I throw some extra sea salt in there. I'm a big sea salt guy. And then I usually start off with a high protein, high fat. And I vary, so I usually do like a half a pound of meat, and I'll do like three eggs, and then I'll do I usually do raspberries and blueberries, and then I usually don't eat for lunch. I'm usually not hungry, and I usually eat an early dinner around like 4 or 5, and then I have another like pound of meat, and then I'll have either some veggies or some more fruit, depending on what I need, and I have another avocado, so I have 2 kind of large avocados a day. Well, not really the jumbo ones, but the kind of just the big size ones. I'm posturing right now, actually. Just so you guys can get a better understanding. I have two of these a day.
Yeah.
Keeping the fat high, and then I drink lemon with everything. So lemon goes, and I make tea every day. I make ginger lemon tea. We usually have that for lunch, and then for night. At the nighttime, I'll have some. But, yeah, that's usually it. Usually 2 meals a day, 2 big meals a day, lemon and everything. So
let me get this straight now. First thing in the morning, you're eating meat? Is that what you said?
I eat high protein, high fat.
Wow. Okay. And so that's what's giving you your lean muscle and strength. So you'll eat – what do you eat with your meat again?
In the morning, I have, like, similar to your dad, I have, like, 6 to 8 ounce steak, and I have eggs with that and berries.
And berries?
Berries, correct.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to have a personal question here. How are your bowel movements?
Because I have the avocados, the big avocados.
Okay.
There's a lot. I get a lot of fiber from that.
Okay, so everything's moving, huh?
Nothing is. I make sure that nothing is getting stuck in any parts of my body. So, I have a great team that I work with who has introduced me to very clean way of introducing healthy meats. So
you're doing like grass fed meats and the best quality meat.
Grass fed, the eggs are pasture raised, organic pasture raised. Yeah, and pretty much it. All my fruits are organic.
So you're a single man?
I'm a bachelor.
Bachelor? Well, okay, Liz, here's a personal question. You don't have to answer. But how are your relationships going? Are you interested in dating? Or I'm just putting that out there in case somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing someone right now.
So okay. Okay. And are they on the same level of knowledge and understanding about your lifestyle and all that? You know, they're not junk food eaters, of course.
Not at all. She's very similar to me, which is very, surprising. I haven't met a woman in my life who doesn't, she eats twice a day. Yesterday she ate twice. Like, it's just like she'll eat the same thing I eat. Like, and, you know, she'll incorporate sometimes, you know, different aspects of what she, you know, wants to add for a variety. And, like, just super low maintenance. Like, I haven't met anyone like this before. So it's been cool. There has been challenges in the past where, you know, someone doesn't understand, you know, what really fueling correctly looks like, or what actually understanding the impact of energy and food. But, you know, she's taken some time to understand that. She's also Colombian, like you mentioned earlier. And so I think just being from those native lands, her grandma taught her, you know, the ways in which to build up a strong body. And so believe it or not, like she like grew up on like just high protein, like, and Lance can attest to this. She's like, she has very good bone density as a girl, very good, and very good muscle mass for her not to lift at all, because she has a high protein. Like, from a little kid, like, she would just eat a lot of meat, like, just snack on cats and stuff like that. She has, you can see the development looks so much different from someone who partakes in the high protein.
And the foods are cleaner over there, Colby. Like, the meat's cleaner in most of those countries. It's not injected with the antibiotics. They're not fed with grains.
Grains.
Yeah, people outside, exactly. Like Jody just said, you know, people outside of the U.S. understand that way better. Yeah, in Jamaica, everything is free-range, grass-fed. Like, they don't do anything that's processed, except for now there's a movement of everybody loving KFC.
KFC, yeah.
What? In Jamaica? Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's the biggest thing in the world in Jamaica, right?
No, that's too bad. Yeah, I spent 8 days in Costa Rica last month. Had amazing... The food is different, yeah. The food is different. We all need to be thinking about traveling to these types of countries where they grow their own food there, and we don't have this big production like in the United States of processed foods and garbage foods. So, yeah, you're going to be a lot healthier eating food that's grown in your own yard, or at least food that's not processed.
Well, keep in mind, we spoke with Jody a while back too. The reason, because there's a reason why things are like that in the U.S. Right? We're trying to feed a lot of people all at one time to keep up with being one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Typically, when you're one of the wealthiest nations, your food is going to struggle because now you have to eat inconvenience, because you have to work, you have to push out product, you have to push out work. So I understand why America's like that. You know, I get it, you know, but that's, you know, if you want that, you know, if you want to live like that, okay, cool. But a lot of people say they want freedom, but they don't want the responsibility that freedom comes with. Right? They don't want to sit there and cook and clean and learn the food. They don't want to source the food, go to the right market, spend the extra money. Right? people think, oh, it's, you know, you got to be rich or affluent to eat a certain way. No. You have to change where you spend your money at. Not necessarily rich or affluent, because we all have that money to spend, but we just choose to put it in certain places where it may give us instant gratification, as in someone giving us validation outside, but our insides are struggling. So, you know, expensive clothes for the cheap body. or expensive car, but a cheap body. And that's typically what puts you in prison. Not in prison, but in...
That too.
Yeah.
Prison of the mind. Because I don't know about you, when I'm in the grocery store, I kind of check out what people are putting in their carts. I mean, stuffing their carts with cases of Coca-Cola. And then, I try not to be judgmental, but it's just in my mind. And I'm looking at how they're dressed, the long eyelashes, and they got the nails, and they got the hair, and cheap food in the cart. That's what I see. No judgment. I'm just observing. That's what I see so often. And then once they're sitting there in front of me in the line, and they're putting all this stuff on. I didn't see all the other stuff that was at the bottom of the cart that's coming on the register. It's like, whoa. And I want to just say, hey, you can do better. You can do better. I want to just tell you can do better. But it's just the observation. So when you see that over and over and over again, you realize we got a problem in the United States. That's why people have diabetes, cancer, all these problems. Their priorities are on their makeup and their hair and their nails and all these external things. And like you say, it's time for us to invest in this temple, of this sacred temple that's going to carry you for the rest of your life. So Lance, what's your routine during every day to keep your body fit and healthy?
Yes. Could you give me just 5 minutes? My computer's about to die.
You know what? We're on our last break. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely give you some time because we got to take our last break, and we've got a caller when we come back. So let me play some commercials, and Lance's going to beef up his computer, and we'll be right back after the...
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
Beautiful, handsome athletes who are sharing their journey of becoming a greater athlete in the life journey. Lance Kearse, is it Kearse?
Kearse
and Montre Hardage have been sharing their experience from professional basketball and football, and now becoming entrepreneurs. How did you guys decide to become, and then here's a kind of a mixed question, in the professional athlete world, when, at what point are you guys deciding, I'm not going to be a professional athlete forever? So how did you guys finally decide? Was it the injury, and what actually transitioned you into becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, with me, when I played basketball in Spain, I understood that me with sickle cell trait playing basketball wasn't going to last for too long because it's, like I said, it's an aerobic sport. So basically, we're running the whole time. We're not stopping. My body can't keep up. Where these guys were running for hours, I'm tired. I'm lethargic. I'm slow, right? I started out as probably the best athlete on the court. By the end of the game, I'm the worst because I cannot move. I cannot jump. I cannot run. I cannot sprint. My body just gives out. So in my mind, I'm like, well, I don't have a degree in business management for nothing.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, let me start planning my lead. Let me go back into work. Let me work for some companies to figure out how things work, and now let me implement it with myself. So I learned a bunch of sales skills. I started out very shy. You know, I didn't grow up with a father. I didn't know how to express myself as a man in the world. Like, I didn't know what that looked like. I was very unsure, right, because I never had a father figure in the household. Because the world treats us based on how we look and how we are, right? You know, I'm never going to get molested walking down the street 3 o'clock in the morning.
Absolutely. How tall are you?
I'm 6'6".
Oh, yeah. Don't mess with you. Okay.
Yeah, so me not understanding there's certain ways that I had to carry myself, you know, as a kid or even as an adult until older, when I really had to figure life out. But me having to make that transition because it was – I saw that day coming quicker than other people. And having to learn these skills through working for companies, it allowed for me to take those skill sets and transfer it over into what I'm doing now. So it made it a lot easier. It was a smooth transition for me.
And what about you, Montre? Was it your physical injury that caused you to think about entrepreneur or business, or was it before that?
I think before the injury, I flirted with the idea just because of I was in a bad car accident when I was a kid, and I had a neck injury. And always just knew, I was told I was never going to be able to walk again.
Whoa.
3 years old. So, being able to get through circumstances like that, I was thinking about, in the NFL. I'm like, this has always been a goal. But, it's like flirting with fire, at the end of the day. And I told myself, initially get the guarantees, get the, the pension, get all these different benefits, right? My goal was never to be a Hall of Famer. My goal was never to be, to receive a ton of accolades in this space. I looked at it as a great opportunity to give me a stepping stool towards creating a niche for myself. And that's always how I looked at it. I never wanted to make it a career long lasting because I know the game is the game. The game, you can't change it to make it longevity for an individual, for a player, where there's so much impact that happens where it's out of your control. And so start thinking about the controllables as I got to college, I can't control how many years I do. I can't control what I want out of this. And so I'll just do that. I'll focus on that. And then, once the injury happened, that was just a chapter. That was just closed and a new beginning started. So, it was just one of those things that kind of happened. My baseline was 4 to 4 years. I mean, it ended up a little bit short of 3, but at the end of the day, I sought out my goal and, I capitalized on the wins that I thought was great. And making this movement towards business has been a good transition. And I think it's just, just getting started. Yeah.
Well, we've got a caller who's pressed 1. So if it's okay with you guys, we'll open up the mic and see if we have a comment or a question. 312-597, the mic is open. And give us your name and your question or comment.
Good morning. This is Kofi James.
Hi, Kofi. How are you? Yes, how are you?
Okay, good. Good. I'm a former athlete myself. Sports is a business, and, we go to school and we play sports in school, and that's a combination to where a lot of athletes, we end up going into business. So it's a natural transformation for a lot of people. Most athletes, professional athletes, are businessmen as well. It's nothing new, but, you guys are, figuring it out. Secondly, I had a little blood situation, sickle cell, and I was asked the brother, did he get a vaccination when he was younger? Did you get a sickle cell shot?
So your question is, did they get a vaccine when they were young?
Yeah, do you remember getting the vaccination shot? Because right now, what I'm working on now, I'm working on all the people who got the COVID vaccination shot. I'm watching a lot of the results and what's happening long term to people. I'm getting a lot of respiratory situation, a lot of cancerous creation. There's going to be a lot of cancer, respiratory problems, tiredness, and that's what I'm doing right now, and coming up with herbs to counteract that, because people made a grave injustice to the world putting that on people. But that was my question to him: did he get a sickle cell vaccination? Do you remember that? Because you don't get sickle cell by low frequency. Every disease is given to us by the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry is directly attached. That's why they mandate you go to school. You have to get vaccination shots to go to school as a young child. They're actually putting you, your life in jeopardy with creation of diseases. Uh-huh.
Right. So just like multiple sclerosis has been found to be a cause by vaccines. So what about you guys? As children, did you get your regular shots, and have you thought about whether that contributed to your sickle cell challenge?
So you say that there's a shot that causes sickle cell?
He's are you saying in general?
Yeah, I got one at six. I was on sickle cell medication for 18 years. I was an athlete. I led the state in hitting. I couldn't hit home runs. I was weak. So I went to herbs, and it got the sickle cell out of my body. But I remember the day directly when I was 6 years old and I got the sickle cell shot. I had a temperature of 150, and my mom said, I'm going to be okay, but I wasn't okay. I knew that shot gave me something, and it did harm to my body. I've been through it. I'm a survivor. I got sickle cell from a vaccination shot.
Okay. He's saying he took a vaccine at 6 years old. It wasn't, quote, a sickle cell vaccine, but he took a vaccine that caused your sickle cell. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, it was an anemic shot. Yeah, I was anemic. I was skinny. They call me malnutrition. Now my body is stronger and everything. I it was every disease, man, every disease, y'all. Y'all better wake up, you know. My mama say you tell black people something, give them a little time to think about it. Every disease is caused by these vaccines they're putting in our body. Is directly. That's just, I mean, we're guinea pigs, man. So, you know, one day you figure it out, but I was asking you, did you get a vaccination shot? Do you remember getting that?
Okay, in your youth, all of us, most of us did.
No, I've never taken a vaccine shot for sickle cell
treatment. No, just in general. He's saying, because he was anemic, and he had a vaccine for being anemic, and he says it contributed to sickle cell.
I became anemic when I got the vaccine. The vaccine made me anemic. It gave me sickle cell.
Okay.
No disease is inherited. All disease comes from vaccinations that these people put in our body. Whether you're an athlete and you got to take a shot, whether you're going to school, you got to take a shot. All that is creating diseases in our body. Okay? That's the pharmaceutical industry. That's what they want to do when you're young, give you a shot to affect and lower your lifespan. Every disease comes with these vaccines that they're putting in our body. It's a direct connection.
Okay. So thank you, Kofi. So what he's sharing is that he believes his sickle cell, which he treated for, 18? You said 18 years?
I had it for 18 years.
18 years.
And then
okay.
I've had it for 30. But I knew at 18, I got off of medication at 18. I got tired of the medication. And so I got over to herbs, and that's what took it out. I have twins, boy and a girl. They don't have the sickle cell trait. You know, I made sure that was a blessing. So I knew directly it came from a mandatory vaccination when I was 6 years old, going into first grade. That's when I got it.
I have a quick question, though. The pharmaceutical industry, and how long has that been around? How long have they been injecting people?
200-300 years. In World War One, they used to inject the actual disease in somebody so they wouldn't catch a disease. The flu or whatever, this has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is not nothing new.
Well, like
you know,
1800s.
Yeah. 1800s is biological warfare. It's been for a long time.
You look at
the black Indians. They gave them what is that skin disease with the blankets? They gave them blankets, and they call it disease. But biological warfare has been around for 300-400 years. It's kind of like killing people off indirectly.
Do you know how?
It's your choice. You took it. You know, so it's been around for hundreds and hundreds. It's nothing new. You look at the pharmaceutical symbol, and it's a symbol. It's a comedic symbol with the snake going around it. That's a comedic symbol. Okay. So it's been an attack on the indigenous people around the world. That's how the indigenous people, they killed billions of indigenous people by using biological warfare. All over in Africa, here in America, They killed off a lot of the black indigenous people using biological warfare.
Okay, so that's Koofy.
Yeah.
Koofy,
I have a question, though. I have a question. Hey, Koofy, how long has sickle cell been around?
Do you know, Koofy, how long?
Sickle cell has been around since the early 1940s and 50s, and it came from an injection. They wanted to create problems in a immune system. They knew if they can affect the blood, because sickle cell is actually a blood, it's sickled, it's half. So they gave people that, and they checked it out and see they can maintain life, but they have to be on medication. So when these people are giving you vaccinations, they want to prescribe you with prescriptions. That's the whole goal. It's like a drug dealer. Okay, so it's been around. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a naturopath doctor for 30 years. I know a lot. I have a lot of doctors who call me and scream at me because I heal their patients, you know. But I attributed a lot of diseases that I've encountered with people. They've gotten them from prescription drugs, vaccinations, getting these shots. And it was all attributed to even a flu shot. In 1917, there was a Spanish flu pandemic, which killed over 100 million people. It lasted for 10 years, and they end up putting the flu vaccine on the shelf. That's what's going to happen to this COVID. They're going to string along for a couple more years, and it's eventually going to be a shelving product. A seasonal shot.
All right.
Look at 1970.
Thank you, Koofy, for sharing that. Koofy is always informing us about so many things. Did you have a comment, either of you, after his comments, Lance? Or?
Well, for me personally, I've known about malaria disease. From my research, this disease is over 2,500 years old. And this has been common on the eastern side of the hemisphere for quite some time. The Chinese and, you know, Africans have experienced this type of disease for quite some time. But, yeah, that's just my knowledge of it. So in terms of the history of the bacteria and also just how we've progressed in this day and time.
Now you're talking about malaria and sickle cell.
Well, malaria.
Say that again.
It's a response to malaria.
Sickle cell is, you're saying.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, it's interesting because ivermectin. I don't know if you're familiar. Ivermectin. This drug that's been, it's like hundreds of years old, and they tried to suppress it during COVID. But ivermectin has been used in Africa to treat malaria, which has to do with a parasite. So we have been so bamboozled over the last 3 years and confused about what viruses and disease are. And so I'm thankful that people indeed have suffered to come to a knowledge of truth about what's really going on. Once you've suffered from any disease, like Koofy, for instance, he did the research, and people will, like, and even myself, I had so many health challenges years ago that I started doing the research, and that's how you become wiser and more informed about what's really going on. And thanks to the internet and YouTube, I call YouTube University, you don't have to remain ignorant about anything, but you have to take the time to study, and what has the scripture say, show yourself approved and do the homework. We've got another caller. So ivermectin is something that, I don't know we're circling around. Did you guys have any problems during COVID or as far as
being sick or what any of that? Are you guys frozen? I think you're frozen.
So, just a double bath.
We're going round and around and around. Somehow my YouTube or my video's acting up. So we're going to get back to that eventually. I'm back, and then we're waiting for North Monterey to come back in and Lance to come back in. So in the meantime, let me go to a caller. We got a couple of callers. So let me take a call because while our video balances itself out, 847-738. Your mic is coming open, I think, all of a sudden.
Hello, Vieta. It's Jody Susan.
Hi, Jody. How are you? Welcome.
Thank you. I am still healing, but should be back on the show in April. So here's the thing about what Kufi was saying. So I stand with Kufi, right? He knows from a scientific standpoint. I intuitively know that they've been targeting specific communities, they being, you know, the aristocrats. And they give an injection that will compromise a particular community. And then they come up with a disease for that is, I mean, like right now, I mean, and then they come up with a disease for it, right? Meaning right now we're in year three after, you know, the big C, right? And I'm trying to use code words so that we don't get kicked off. But we're in the third year, and now people are getting all these diseases, right, as kids or youngsters, that kids and youngsters have never had. We have a 40% increase in death. I don't know what the increase in disability is. And these statistics are driven by the insurance companies, the life insurance companies are paying out. And while, I mean, I do believe that our genetics can have, you know, we can have certain, you know, diseases, but none of the genes ever need to be expressed unless they're compromised or the body is not given the proper nutrition. But I also believe that they, meaning the aristocrats, are actively doing testing on us. Even the cell towers and the 5G that they're rolling out, which right now I have inflammation of the brain, right? Because not a headache, but brain pain and inflammation of the brain, probably have a tumor growing in there, because they're radiating my home at a level that puts it over 100 milligauss. No one can live in a microwave oven. So, you know, I'm just saying that Kufi's not off base. And they were giving injections way before then, you know, they were poisoning the military. I have several friends that were in the military, and they were given injections and then passed out cold. They line them up, inject them, and they pass out cold. So anyways, that's my thought.
So any thoughts on that? We have had lots of Wi-Fi issues here while you've been talking, and I'm back on StreamYard miraculously, and I see Montre's moving. I don't know if Lance is moving, but it's been a little circle going around for the last 5 minutes or so. Like, Wi-Fi just totally left. I don't even know how I still was in the studio because usually my studio drops. But if you guys want to have final words, Montre, you're live and moving, so let's start with Montre. You have some final words as
okay.
We'll try.
Wait, you went out?
I'm here.
I'm a revolver, but...
Somebody's messing with our Wi-Fi now after all this. Well, at least we got most of our time in. But Montre,
frozen. So
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and talk. See if we can. We'll hear. We'll listen. We can't. You're frozen, but go ahead and talk.
Yeah, we couldn't hear. We've been. Me and my church is being. Where you?
Okay, and Jody was speaking. Did you hear Jody?
No, we didn't hear anything.
Okay. You'll have to go.
We were just talking to ourselves.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, basically, first of all, hi, Montre, hi, Lan. And, you know, what I'm saying is that they've been using humanity as an experiment for longer than we probably want to realize. And things that your ancestors were given allowed for these diseases and such as sickle cell traits. To pass on generation to generation. And they're doing experiments on us now. And I'm not talking about the one they started, you know, a few years ago. I'm even talking about the radiation that they're putting on everybody's body and the homes and everything and how they're trying to hurt people's brain health. So, I mean, not what Kufi's saying is not so far off. I actually agree with him. I think that these diseases are created in a petri dish and then injected. So that's just
okay,
me.
So Montre and Lance, you're moving. Can you speak now? Okay, let's try one more time as we end the show. I don't know if now you're frozen yet, but go. We'll see if we can pick up your voices.
You go, Montre. Yeah.
So we're still having difficulty. So,
you can speak because I guess it records on this side too. Oh, okay. Well, just in terms of that, I appreciate the time, and also just the last comment. I definitely think, you know, having synthetics enter your bloodstream from whether it's a shot or any type of drug is going to have an impact on our genetic makeup, and I think. Whether it's from being kids in order, you know, now being adults, at the end of the day, most of the time these shots have come from parents who have signed waivers giving their kids this, and it has been out of most of our control. And also even with our ancestors, out of our control, when someone's coming and voluntarily coming into an environment and creating subjugation, there's not really much people can do. I only just speak on the things that I know that I can continuously try to control. History is definitely, you know, has been an interesting one, very complex one from so many different aspects. But, you know, for me now, it's important that, you know, I try to make sure that I'm able to do the things that I necessarily can and educate and impact the people who are in my circle and people that look up to me and inspire to learn and do the same things or similar things that I want to do. I'm sure there is an impact. But in terms of just how I'm able to construct and move my life, I just try to focus on the things that I can do on a day-to-day basis in order to control, you know, what I consume and the education that I continuously learn. So I definitely see where you guys are coming from, and I hope that people continuously have that same energy that you guys are having in terms of doing the research and finding the things that work for them and understanding that how it can impact other people if they don't do the same. So kudos to you guys for, you know, continuously learning and growing and wanting to be greater than the system that we live in.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lance, go ahead.
Absolutely. I agree 100% with Montre. You know, me personally, I'm a, you know, I know Montre is as well. That's why we get along so well. We're solution oriented, right? We don't like to harp on the symptoms.
We don't like to harp on, you know, what's going on. We want to say, okay, what are the symptoms? What's the solution? Let's figure this out, right? How do we change this? What do we do? If you're living in a system where it's, you know, it may be oppressive or they're forcing things on you, well, how do you remove yourself from that system? Right? How do you live within that system where you can also live and not be have that have an effect on you? You know, do we now figure out ways around these vaccines where, you know, we create a coalition or something where you know, we can get prescriptions or do we create a church or something where now that church and that group of people cannot be held to certain standards of law, right? You know, what do we do? Like, you know, I like to figure things out because me personally, I grew up in the ghetto, rough in the 90s in Florida, crack everywhere. I had to figure it out. I couldn't sit there and complain about what's going on around me. It's like, how do I remove myself from this? What do I do? And I've always done that, even with my company, even with everything. How do I figure this out but I'm not held to this? And then also, how do I build something where other people aren't held to these same standards or these same measurements? All right? It's, you know, it's one thing to say, to keep saying, hey, they're doing this, they're doing this. Well, okay, but what are you doing to fight against that? Because regardless of what system you are under, you can, whenever there's a population of people, there's a government. If there's not, there's anarchy, right? You just can't do whatever you want to with a group of people. If you live by yourself, well, then you don't need a government. You're self-governed, right? If you're isolated. So, you know, what is the solution, right? I understand everyone has their opinions on what's going on. Let's figure it out. Let's come together. Let's find some solutions. Let's put things in place. Let's actually move in unison, actually changing laws where we're not held. But there's groups of people who aren't held to the same standards and laws that we're all. And typically they work their ways through a church. You know, churches aren't held to the same standards. Certain groups of people are labeled the same. That group of people are also labeled a religion as well, right? It's like a dual religion type of person. It's like, well, why can't I do that? So I can't be held to certain standards. I just want solutions. You know, I don't have time. Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you so much. Both of you are such wise men beyond your years, and I'm so grateful. But I have Kwame Sunhorse has pressed one, and before I open up his mic, I learned something today because of you being transparent about your sickle cell experience. And I realized there's a video circulating on the internet with Dr. Fauci going around Atlanta with the mayor trying to convince black people to take the jab. I don't know if you've seen that. But it's comical because they knock on the door of this black guy, and he said, I'm not taking that. He said, you all didn't do enough research. So he gets totally embarrassed. Dr. Fauci was out there door to door. This was probably a couple of years ago, knocking on in the black neighborhood now, trying to get people to take the jab. So when I read about sickle cell in Louise Hay's book being a belief that one is not good enough, the elite have targeted that community because they know there's a lack of self-esteem in the black community. That's why you grew up in a community where crack and all these drugs were being used to comfort the people in the community who didn't feel good enough. Okay, let's just admit it. We have been, the black community has been bombarded with advertisement and marketing that makes you think you're not good enough. So now, as Lance said, it's time for solutions. We know who the players are. We know Dr. Fauci is not one, is not the conscious individual we should be listening to, following, or any of that.
after 3 years, have we not woken up to who the players are in this game? You know, let's go back to what you said. I think, Lancer, you said that workout you do is tonight. Who's on the team? That two-day practice, who is going to meet the requirements to be on this team? And we're now talking about a very divine team. You, Lance, and Montre were brought together, in my opinion, to create a new team, a new health-oriented team, exercise team, beautiful, healthy life team. So we are now aware and conscious of who's on the team, thanks to videos like Fauci and all the other players who were trying to take us out. So I'm going to let Brother Kwame have the last words of wisdom, because Brother Kwame always introduces more wisdom and knowledge. Your mic is open. We're over time, so just whatever you have to say, go ahead and say it.
Grand rising, Sister Viata, and I'd like to thank, you know, your guests, Lance and Montre, and even, you know, the information in which they're sharing, it allows me as an elder to know that the next generation is awakened to what has to happen, because, you know, we're looking at the virus that they created, but what we have to look at through history. You know, we had the Tuskegee experiment. How many people know about USC San Francisco, the dermatology department, where they experimented with pesticides and herbicides to create, you know, this formulation that we're getting now in the food, because these pesticides. So they experiment generation after generation. But Frantz Fanon says is that each generation out of relative obscurity must fulfill its mission or we'll all fail. That's what those two brothers are doing. They're fulfilling their mission for the purpose they came on the planet. We as elders have to come in and give support, and what you're doing in allowing them to speak their knowledge that they've gained is that to know that we can look at the next generation, because today, there every 7 seconds there's a child coming out of a womb. And so that means that there's 12,334 children being born today. How many of those will survive, and how many of those that look like us? Because even with the mortality rate, and black women are at the highest rate of losing their lives and reproducing. So we've got a challenge to be able to unify and to go forward. And with this technology, it's a techno-spiritual, but we have to come back to our natural spiritual and have that balance as above, so below, because we have to begin to understand that it is us. Nobody is going to free us but us. And so what we have to begin to do is what Sonia Sanchez always used to state, is how is this going to free you? When you get ready to do whatever it is that you feel you want to create or you to do, will that be something to help free you?
So the new, you know, team, the new team is what Kwame always talks about, the overground railroad. We are creating a network of conscious individuals like Lance and Montre and all the women of Female Solution and all the elders who tune in here. We're creating an overground railroad to bring strength, health, and vibrancy back into the whole, all communities, no matter what the race is. So Lance and Montre, keep up the good work. And let's everybody go to ezherbal.com and get the product so we can support these men in their entrepreneur work. And we're going to have to come back and do this again. And I hope to see you in at the conference in Orlando. I'm going to look for you guys May. Whenever it is, I'm going to look for you.
In May.
May. So I'll see you in May. And all the best to you. Many blessings and love. Mwah. I love you guys. Consider you part of my family now. So let's stay in contact. Overground Railroad, here we are. So everybody have a beautiful day. It's hot in Florida, so enjoy the sun. Sun, more sun. That's how we keep our health, right, is stay in the sun. And we're blessed in Florida. And Zelda says, send some heat to Chicago. All right, all together now, heat to Florida, heat to Chicago. So thank you, guys. Any last words? You're all moving now that we had Trump. Any last words from you guys? Chicago. Okay, I think we're good. All right, everybody, have a good day. Love you. See you.
Can you say it again?
I was asking if you had any last words. No, we're good.
No, that's pretty much it. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, we're good. All right, love you. Have a beautiful day. We're going to play our farewell greeting, and we'll see you next time. Come in. Don't forget tomorrow.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And to all my yogis out there, Satnam and Namaste. Love you.